Hi, everyone. Welcome to Entrepreneurship by Design with Dr. C. I'm your host, Dr. Caroline, and thank you so much for joining us today. Entrepreneurship looks different for everyone. How and why we start our business, challenges that occur, pivots we have to make, success we achieve, all while life is happening. That's why I love sharing these inspiring entrepreneurs with you and shed light that there is enough room for everyone to succeed and thrive, even if you're in the same industry. I am so honored today because I have Caesar with me. He is a father, husband, entrepreneur, co-owner of Real Solar, and he's been in the solar industry for over 10 years now. Thank you so much for being here today, Caesar.
I appreciate the invite. Pleasure.
Yes, absolutely. It's an honor to have you. And I would love for you to just really start telling us about your journey, how you got here today.
If we want to go back, you know, what kind of inspired me to be in business, be in sales, and not just go out and get a job, which is fine, right? A lot of people, I've had plenty of jobs in the past, and I've loved some of my jobs, right? But at the end of the day, when you become an entrepreneur, usually there's something that triggered that at one point. And for me, it was really just looking around my family, right? Like from my grandpa being a hard worker his whole life, working for somebody else, but hardest working dude you ever met. And my dad was kind of the same way, but then he had a mix of some entrepreneurship. And so he'll have like a full-time job, but then a side gig. Mm-hmm. And I actually got to go to different events, conventions with him as a kid a couple of times. And I'm like, dude, this is cool. Like people here look super fun. They look like they're making money. When there was kids around, it looked like they were cool kids, right? Mm-hmm. When we out with the other crowd that was maybe not into business or entrepreneurship, it was a different vibe. It was more, you know what I mean? It was more about complaining about this, complaining about that. And I quickly picked up those different types of environments. I said, which environment do I want to be a part of? So constantly, you know, I started leaning, even as a kid, I'm like, there's something about business people that is different than everybody else, right? Mm-hmm. And it doesn't mean they're better or worse people as far as a personal level or anything like that, but their mentality and what they expect out of life and situations, right? Mm-hmm. And my godfather was actually a field worker in Salinas, and then he became a farmer himself. He was such a good worker that he got opportunities within the company, and then the owner ended up leasing land to him, and then he became one of the big strawberry field companies out there in Salinas for like in the early to mid 90s, and he had a lot of success. And so I got that small sample size because I was his godson, and at the time he didn't have any kids, and then he had a son and all that. But for a moment there was, it's almost like that son treatment, right? Mm-hmm. And here I see this dude that came with nothing and now runs crews and has new trucks for him, for his brothers. And they're all supervising this project. And so that was pretty cool, you know, to see that. And same thing with my dad. I didn't get to hang out at his job, but when he had extra things to do on the weekends, that's when I actually got to hang out. That's, we would buy strawberries in bulk from my godfather and then go sell them in the corner of a off ramp or something in California. And then when it was already getting dark and there was not enough cars stopping and we still had strawberries, we actually went door to door to make sure we got rid of all the strawberries. And we did that with more than just strawberries, right? He was selling tortillas at one time, you know what I mean? So knocking on the door for a complete stranger was like, my dad introduced me to that. Yeah. So when I think back, when I actually started knocking doors in solar, to me, it was, never knocked doors. Well, I never knocked doors because I never considered it a job, but because when you're with your dad, you don't think that's a job. You don't think that's a career. You don't think that's any skill set that's important, right? That's just something making you do. But then I realized like, dude, that skill set helped me, right? Like I was 9, 10 years old knocking on the door with strawberries. I mean, you want to buy these for $3? Like they're $5 at the store. And these are fresh. We just got them from the fields, literally, right? Mm-hmm. That was my pitch. Simple, right? Yeah. And still kind of amazing to me that a grown-ass man or a grown-ass woman would be afraid of knocking on a door when I knew I did it at years old, right? So when people want to give excuses about the doors, this and that, but, you know, I can get on that whole subject of what built me up to where I'm at now. Yeah. And so once I got out of high school, you know, after experiencing all that through the years, I knew I wanted to be in business, but I was undecided of a career. And there was the pressure of you got to pick a career. And, you know, I was in sports and listening to the coaches and the teachers, and they're going to point you to the direction to go to college. They're not going to point you in the direction to start your own business. Mm-hmm. So between my mom and the teachers and everybody, they kind of convinced me to do what every undecided student wants to do and go to criminal justice. You know what I mean? And I'm like, all right, I watched Bad Boys a couple of times. I think I could a good Will Smith out in the streets. And then I quickly realized that it's really not about that. It's more report writing, data keeping. And I'm just like, dude, I'm not and doing, you know, reports on old cases. And I'm like, I'm not about this life, you know. And halfway between my second year of college, network marketing, actually, where I started. And that's where I learned edification, right? A lot of people sometimes criticize the network marketing because, yeah, whatever. Every industry has pros and cons. But for me, that's where I learned systems, structure, showing up, personal development, edification. And the biggest thing, once I discovered edification, because from my community, you don't really get people to edify others very, right? We like the opposite effect. We like to tear each other down, you know? And so coming from that environment, always being kind of on your toes and people always trying to one up you and all that type of stuff, to being around a community with people that just want to edify you and find the strengths. And it doesn't matter. We know you have weaknesses, but we see your strengths, and that's what we want you to bring to the table. So that was life-changing for me, because from that day forward, I've never had less than a dozen people on my team for anything. Like today, I can start a freaking chess club and I'll have 15 people enrolled by the end of today, right? Just because my mentality for team build was, once that happened for me, it was just different. It just me. It was always like, how do I get 1,000 people to duplicate what I do, right? And so, yeah, that was shaped me to start getting into sales and training. You know, I was basically running the network marketing business for, you know, 2 or 3 years. Did good for as far as positioning and going through the ranks and actually decent money, but I didn't have a good financial planner, right? That was the part that was missing early on. And figuring out my taxes ahead of time instead of after the fact, you know, figuring out what asset versus a liability, what's a want, need. I had zero filter with that early on, right? So I actually got more trouble, because even though I was able to move to a nice place, buy nicer shit, right? You know, it became about that. It became what I can buy next. You know, I like this car. I want this car. I want to buy this clothes. I want to live in this place. And then it went from doing what I used to do to be able to get me there to now living up to this new lifestyle, because now I have arrived and all these people have to go duplicate what I did so that they can maintain my lifestyle, right? So there was no coaching or discipline in that factor of like, I went to go make, I worked hard to go make it happen. It almost came easy to me, right? So then I expect everybody else was going to do it easy too. Like my very first month in network marketing, which now those numbers are nothing, I'm sure. But you got to think, like back then there was no Instagram. There was no, like, I didn't even, Facebook wasn't even out yet, like, or about to come out when I first did my first month in network marketing, right? Yeah. Somebody talked about Facebook shortly after that. And I was like, dude, that sounds stupid. That's not me.
Little did you know.
I'll stick to MySpace, you know, because I'm on MySpace. I didn't want to give it up because they didn't have the sound effects in Facebook. I'm like, no, man, I have a MySpace. It's a lot cooler. But anyway, I didn't have any of those tools. I didn't have IG, and about 13 people, not knowing anything really about the product that I was selling yet. This is automatic. These 13 people are going to go recruit another 10, and then those 10 are going to recruit another 10 themselves, because it's the easiest thing in the world. But then you find out that it's not that easy for everybody, right? And theory, it sounds great, but there's more disciplines and there's more activities that need to take place in order for the duplication to happen. And that's really what we're really excited at here at Real Solar, that we know what the pieces that are needed, right? We got the people, we got the best talent, hands down, right? We have the phone number of anybody in the industry, right? And one phone call away from anybody. So we know we got the people, we got the talent. Is the systems now that we're dialing in that we're really excited about. And basically the journey that I have gone through, right? And it's funny, because a lot of things that I analyze now on a daily basis or things that really triggered my, you know, my activity, my disciplines, my posture from an early age. So if anything else, what I like to challenge people is like, dude, look back and highlight those sample sizes that you, your life. Because sometimes we have a victim mentality. Like I could say like, oh man, my parents never had money, this and this and this and that. But I take whatever good I got from them, take that small sample size, along with other small sample sizes of good that I've picked up along the way. It's not all on my parents. You know, I can't say they didn't, you know, have my college paid for, or they didn't have, you know, $100,000 for me when I was 18 so I can go face the world, or $1 million, like duplicate his fortune, whatever the hell, right? Like, I can't put that on them, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's a lot worse. Yeah, a lot worse, right? And so we like to compare ourselves to like, man, this guy had it good. That's why now he's here. Well, look at the person that had it way worse than you, and now he's past you. Don't, who cares what they had that you didn't have? Look at people that less than you did. And that's how I always look at my situation. Like, am I looking at it from a proactive way or a reactive way? Am I looking at it from a positive angle with a positive spin to take me to a new level? Or am I looking at it from a negative lens that's going to either keep me stuck or take me backwards? Right. So, yeah, I mean, that gives you a little bit of my background and kind of like what's been my experiences through life. And you know, again, what makes me tick and I am the way I am today.
Right? I love that you share just like the ins and outs of where you've been and where you are today. And I love that you started at such a young age, just going door to door, because you're right. Adults are terrified. Like I was terrified at first. I was like, oh no. But I think it's just going back to like what you said, the sample sizes of what you've gone through in every stage of your life to get to here, and recognizing that for everyone too. Like you might not have that exact skill set that you're learning, but pull from everything you've already accomplished in your lifetime. But I love that you built upon that. And even just like the mentality, what you're talking about, employee versus entrepreneur mindset as well, like starting a business and being able to pull from your resources and allowing yourself to actually just do it and try it instead of maybe having the fear, because you never know what you can accomplish, and being able to duplicate that as well to really help other people and help the masses. And that's what I know you're doing at Real Solar, and the talent that you're bringing in and that is already there as well to just grow and help so many more people. So I appreciate you sharing the background as well. I learned a lot just now too, which is the beautiful thing about it. With that being said, I would love to know just a little bit about, like, because you've had so much success, what have been some of the obstacles that you've had to overcome while building, especially in the solar industry, because I know that's been a bulk of the last 10 years, but what has that been like for you?
Well, you know, the biggest challenge is that we always want to help everybody, and everybody always has a concern. And so when you start addressing concerns like, oh man, I want faster install times. Oh man, these guys do better quality, right? So it kind of became, the solar industry goes through phases, and everything does, right? And so it kind of, I think last year's phase was one of those where smaller installers were, you know, promising really fast installs because they knew the big companies couldn't keep up because they had so much business. And so down to the field, everything gets amplified, right? Because they only, so from a sales position, there's only so much that is important to you as a salesperson.
Right.
For running a sales organization, now the list of responsibilities and the things that are important to you grow. So now when the salesperson says, I want to grow to be this leader of a big, well, you can't look at it as you going knocking doors, selling deals for yourself anymore. So it's easy to say, I want the company with the fastest installs because, you know, yeah, but now that what's the duplication going to look like everywhere else? And now we got to train different people for different things in every city, different processes, different payouts, different formats. And really the biggest challenge was really to put that together like an ecosystem, which I feel we've pretty good job of already, and we'll continue to have a sector of our company operating that. But what we're really exciting is about now is like dialing in a system that is a one stop for everybody, where everyone can come in and it works the same way in California as it does in Florida, as it does in New Jersey, it depends wherever, right? Okay. And there's one resource center, and I think that's gonna up things so much, because I think we can get to 5, 10,000, 20,000 reps nationwide. But the only way you can really do that if you have that ecosystem that is already streamlined. And so there are systems that have already been out there operating, working fine for other organizations, which, you know, we've analyzed all the options. We know everybody in the industry. So just excited about the next chapter of Real, because I know that's what's next. And once we turn that page, you're going to see 5,000-10,000 reps nationwide. So, but I mean, within, you see how within the biggest obstacle comes the biggest opportunity. So that's what I'm excited about, because that's where most people quit. That's where most people get frustrated and throw the towel. No, for me, I get excited. I'm like, great. At this part of the level, where we're at right now, that's where most people can get to the next level, because they don't have skills, because they don't have the resources, because they don't have the creativity. We have all. So to me, it's like, perfect. Bring on the next big challenge, because I know that's where most people fall off.
You're absolutely right. And even just when you were saying the systems, what you said earlier too, is like, you created those systems for yourself when you were network marketing as well, of just being able to pull from, again, another skill set that you already had and bringing on that talent. And I love that it is getting streamlined across the board, because you're dealing with so many different states and regulations and different numbers and everything along those lines, but being able to bring it into a system that flows so effortlessly, even though it's not effortlessly whatsoever, but being able to understand that.
To make something dummy proof, it means it took a lot of people behind the scenes, right?
So, oh yeah, 100%. But being able to really streamline that and understand too, it's going to be different, but what goes back to like what you being able to have the systems in place for other businesses and being able to pull that and be able to put that into Real as well, so people can benefit from that. But you're right. Some people see, oh, it's getting hard, I'm going to throw in the towel. But that's exactly what you said. It's the opportunity that's right around the corner waiting for them.
Right now is that anybody anywhere in the country can bring 1,000, 2,000 people on their solar squad right now at Real Solar. Like, that's how we look at it. You'll be hearing some awesome news coming soon. And I think you guys will be excited about it.
Well, I'm excited. I can't wait. But with that being said, even though there has been obstacles, there's been a lot of success. What has been some of the success that's happened, at least in the last few months, even year, for Real Solar and for you?
Yeah, I mean, I think living up to the name, Real Solar. We're no longer in the being nice business. We're in the being real business, right? Mm-hmm. Because being nice can only take you so far. Being nice can make you 100,000, 200,000, 300,000 in this industry, because it's a very lucrative industry, but being real can make you millions. So for us, the biggest success is living up to our name, and people that are not doing the work are not going to get the results. And people that want the cheat codes are going to be in the same spot. The cheat code is that you're going to be a year older next year in the same spot. Like that's what the cheat code will get you. Right. But if really stick to the strategies, the system. See, everybody says, what are you doing to get the results? And then you show them what you're doing, and they're like, that's too hard. I don't want to do all that. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
I don't want to build a team of 25 door-to-door guys. That sounds too hard. I can't even build a team of two. I can't even build a team of three. Mm-hmm. Well, stop saying why you can't. Stop saying, how can I? Right?
Right. Yeah.
Start looking at, if you only got two people, how can you 10x the size of your and reverse engineer and start. We already got the recipe. We can tell you how to do it. The question is, are you going to do it? Are you going to stick to the system? And the thing is, the daily system, right? Yeah. And if you want long-term results, you got to have daily activity. Yeah. And that's the thing that people don't want to hear. They want to hear that you work 2-3 hours a day. You go to the beach, out. You work, you know, Monday through Thursday, you get 3 days off every week. That's the story a lot of people want to really hear, right? How are you doing it? Please tell me it's easy. That's actually what they're asking. Yeah. And it's not. And then some people just make it look easy because we enjoy what we do. Every single day is enjoyable to me. I don't need a vacation off of my job. Like, I don't go on vacation. I travel, because while I'm traveling, I'm still working. People call me, oh man, I see you're somewhere else. Sorry to bother you. I'm like, dude, I'm working. What's up? It's not a big deal. I'm here. Right. And so stop trying to, like, when you're in build mode, you got to stop acting like you need a day off. Like, if you're a king and you're building an empire, is there ever a day off? Well, if you're a king, I don't think so. People are like, oh, must be nice to be the king.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone else gets days off. The king doesn't.
Right.
Yeah. Ends up. Be nice for you lazy motherfuckers that get 2 days off. We work 24/7 from when we open our eyes to we shut. Because if you're truly in business, if you truly are growing something, it's just the way it is. And a lot of big challenge, especially when you have family, right? It's like, how do you? That it's a shit show. Just put it that way. And you got to be willing to go through it. And everybody around you has to buy into what you're doing because they got to understand. But then you also got to schedule that time, right? And that's, for me, that's the biggest challenge now moving forward. It's like, how am I a better husband? How am I a better dad? How am I a better brother, son? You know what I mean? Through the shit show. We got to do it all. People want it easy. It's never going to be easy, dude. You just got to be better. It's not about better. It's never easier, guys. Like, nobody achieved anything with easy, ever. You know? So that's going deeper into like some of the biggest obstacles. It ends up becoming not an external thing that we have with, like, oh, this happened in the market, the economy. Like, those are the minor things, honestly. Right. Bigger things are stuff, the relationships that are important to you, your state of, you know. So to me, the obstacle is just being on top of your game.
Yes. Well said. And you know, it's so true. It's something you said, it just triggered my thought of when you have something you're doing on a daily basis, it's you have the end goal. And I always work backwards. I'm like, okay, this is what I want to achieve. How do I, what am I doing every day to get closer to that? And like what you said, it's getting better. It's not easy. And I think there are so many misconceptions, like the 4-hour work week. Yes, you can work up to that if you already have it built, and but you're still maintaining that. You're still growing it if you still want to grow. And I think you just touched on that so beautifully, because I think it is understanding it's not easy. There's going to be hurdles, but how do you overcome them? How do you make those an opportunity? How do you make that more of a success story than just stopping and thinking it's too hard? It is challenging. Like, you're being very real. This is a transparency of what it is to be an entrepreneur, to have that business mindset, to keep going, even if it's difficult. But I love that you started touching on being a father and a husband, because that's one of the core things too, for me, is relationships and understanding how do you integrate that. Working every day, yes, it doesn't feel like work sometimes. Sometimes it might. But how do you really integrate making sure, because I know you have two beautiful daughters and a beautiful wife, but how do you manage integrating everything together?
Well, it's you learn every day. You learn more about yourself every day. You get humbled and realize that you might be great in this. You can walk in this to the award ceremony and just kill it. But then if the very next day you're not present, available, then you very quickly, because you realize that you can disregard the people that need you the most because you're so busy doing what you're doing. So it's really about, for me, is how do I involve them? How do I make it, instead of like, I have to run this way and I have to run that way and I have to run this way, how do I find everything? And it's more like a streamline, that being a good dad impacts my team, that being a good husband strengthens company, right? Because my wife is a part of the company. My daughter be a part of the company. They already carry business cards. My daughter, when the oldest one, Mariana, when she was like, I don't know, 6 years old, maybe, got my real estate license down in Arizona just recently, just to get it, just to check it out. You know what I mean? And good. Never a bad idea to have a real estate license, right? So I still have it to this day. I know this. She had business cards of mine in her little pocket in the store, and she's like, oh, I just wanted to give you my dad's card. He sells houses, because she thinks selling houses is cooler than solar, right? So, I mean, the impact that I start. And so that's how I look at it. Like, I'm impacted, right? And I have conversations with them. Sometimes they're probably more advanced than a 6 or a 10-year, a 7 now, and a 10-year-old need to be hearing. But they catch on to it. They hear the conversations. They hear me on the phone. And so now I see their interest for marketing, their interest of finances, the interest of how money works. And like, my 10-year-old already will guess the price of a house, right? Or she'll ask, what's that house worth? You know what I mean? So now it's like, it doesn't have to be separate. It doesn't have to be like, I can make it fun for them, right? And see what of interest they have. So for me, is now that they're getting older, it's pretty fun to see a lot of the conversations that before I feel like, okay, I got to stop thinking of entrepreneurship. I got to be a dad and separate it. Now I don't feel like they have to, right? Same thing with my wife. I feel like I have to turn off the entrepreneur hat, which is so hard to turn off. And now I husband. Well, no, my family's become an entrepreneur family, right? Yeah. Because when you want something so bad for each other and really have that agreement, like, look, we're going to figure it out. Look, I'm going to get better. Look, this is only the beginning. Right. Yeah. And at the end of the day, I got to re-recruit my family on the vision time and time again, you know, the vision. I say, hey, what's your dream home? We are in our dream home. I don't want another home. It's like, that's it. All right. Well, then I'm going to move out. Cause let me show you my dream home. You can buy that one of these days. You can buy one too. Right. And so now really pouring in on them. That's how I'm going to keep that balance. Cause to say I'm going to balance work and balance this and keep all these different buckets. I think the key is how to bring those buckets together. Right. And it's like, dude, this is me all together in one big bundle and this is my life. I'm not going to try to separate myself from this bucket to that bucket to come back to this bucket later. Like it's either part of my life or it's not.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you know, it's so interesting too, because I believe in work-life integration and harmony with it, because you can't keep it separate. Some people can, but I love that you've involved your daughters with it. So even just like, it triggered my thought, what you were saying earlier as well, of like when you were growing up, it was like, go to college, do everything that like society says too, but you're already showing them different options at such an early age. So if they want to go to college or if they want to be an entrepreneur, I mean, they're already an entrepreneur, I would say, but the way they're already putting it out there. But I love that it's just like kind of allowing them to see different things that are possible. And the dream home, another example of just, you don't have to stop at status quo. You can continue to move forward if you want to. There's so many opportunities and you're showing them that. So I just wanted to highlight that.
And putting them around great people. That's the best thing. Like, you know, imagine when they're around legacy, my brother Jaid, and the type of work that they do, and that's their uncle, that their kids are like cousins with them. And the people you put around your family, that's a big deal, you know? So for me, it's just my family business is an extended version of my family, because I'm not the guy that separates the two. You know, there's people that say that I separate the two. I'm all in, and I can't be all in if I separate stuff.
That's a good point. I appreciate you sharing all of that as well, because I think it's going to really just bring home to other people too, that it's just about who you surround yourself with too. It's your network is your net worth, but also just the relationships you build and how important those are. But I would love for you to share maybe just one or two tips as an entrepreneur, what you've learned along the journey that could really be beneficial for other entrepreneurs to hear.
Yeah, no, I mean, number one, just be transparent with people, dude. It's better to tell people where you're at and then from there, almost downplay it, right? Because most of walk around trying to act like a 9 when they're a 7, and no disrespect to anybody, but just this is a concept. You want to walk around like you're a 9 or a 10, but you're a 7 or a 6. And when you're pitching that you're a 9 or a 10, what is that? You don't need my help. Yeah. You got to figure it out. Damn, dude. So, where's the private jet? Right? Yeah. Where's the private island? Because you seem like you got this figured out. You don't need my help. You don't need my resources. You're not asking questions. You're just making statements about how great you are and what all good, you know, all the good you've ever done. But it doesn't sound like you need any help. So therefore, there's no creativity in that conversation coming back where, because entrepreneurs, when we hit it off, we want to help each other. When we're vulnerable with each other and say, dude, you know what? I really admire the way you do this. One of the weaknesses in my company is this. I'm really struggling with recruiting. I'm really struggling with team building. I'm not making the type of money I want to make. I'm only selling 2 or 3 deals a month. I'm feeling stuck. But you know, if they would have that type of conversation, we would get much more done. But they want to fake the funk. They don't want to be real. They want to act like they're someone they're not. They got it figured out. And so there's no collaboration there. There's no creativity from people that can actually help you. Instead, hey, this is what I'm doing. I'm working hard, but I'm struggling here. I'm struggling there. Somebody's going to want to say, dude, well, I can help you with that. Hey, why don't you come into my office? Why don't we discuss that further? See, so be open and vulnerable with entrepreneurs that are genuine with you that really want to help. If a successful entrepreneur ever tells you, hey, dude, what can I help you with? It's not time for you to fake who you're not. It's time for you to be real, let them be vulnerable, and let them know where you need help. Been able to do that in through the years. You know, I've gotten good advice, bad advice. I've gotten the type of advice that people purposely wanted to sabotage, right? Hey, if I were you, I would do this. And I'm like, trying to ruin my business.
Yeah.
And so you don't have to take everybody's advice. But if you listen more than you talk, if you have a student mentality more than a teacher's mentality, right? Because a lot of time we learn a few things. Now we want to teach all the time. Boom, boom, boom. We want to teach everybody how good we are at everything.
Mm-hmm.
It just be sitting back. I love being the dumbest guy in the circle.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm with everybody, right?
Yeah.
I'm taking notes of the entire situation and see where there's a play, right? See how we can elaborate the next five moves from here. Really listen to other people and be vulnerable. Don't pretend, don't buy fake friends, don't buy fake articles that make you seem like you're something you're not. You know what I mean? Like, because once you do that, it's like, okay, well, you have it all figured out. Hot shot, right? The universe itself will kind of be like, you want to pretend you're something they're not. How am I going to send you the blessings you need when you're rejecting them yourself from the beginning? Right. So that's my 2 cents on that.
Well, I appreciate the 2 cents. And I want to ask, where is the vision of Real Solar? Where is it going?
The vision at Real is really to be the obvious choice in the market for solar, in particular for people that want to get in the business, because the proximity that we have, the influence that Brad Lee has, is bigger than anybody can. You can combine everybody in solar at the same time and they can do a call of action, and Brad Lee's going to have a bigger pool and an impact than everybody can. So why wouldn't, if you, like Brad likes to say, if you're going to sell solar, don't you want it to be real? Because if it ain't real. And so that concept, that branding, we believe we have the most powerful brand in the industry. We believe that the most reps in the industry, I think we'll go to 5,000-10,000 reps. I don't know if there's any, somebody can give me the sheets of the biggest company out there. I think if you challenge us and you poke the bear and say, you guys are not the biggest company, well, give us 90 days. Give us 90 days, maybe 45, right? Because we have that type of pool. So that's the vision, that we're going to be the largest. We're going to have more boots on the ground than anybody else. We're going to have the systems in place where we can scale, where you can be anywhere in the country. You can be in Arkansas, in somewhere in Little Rock, and recruiting somebody in Florida, in Miami, somebody in freaking Sacramento and New Jersey at the same time, and plug them into the same system and duplicate that nationwide. So we're going to put you in positions to close in the house. We're going to put you in positions to close via Zoom. We're going to put you in positions to close on the phone. We're going to put you in positions to go join a blitz somewhere and put you in front of the best mentors that are making 7 figures doing this.
It's so exciting, because I definitely see where the vision's going, and I'm excited for others to hear about it, see it, and experience it as well, because it is real and it's amazing what has been transpired just from when I started knowing about Real and being a part of it as well. But I love what you guys are doing, and I appreciate you sharing everything that you have, because I've so been enjoying this conversation. But we're going to jump into the rapid fire questions if you're ready for them.
Oh.
Okay. The first question is, who is your hero?
So I wouldn't say there's one hero in particular. For me, I look for a new hero all the time.
Mm.
And be a brand new person. It could be a someone that started setting doors for us, right?
Mm-hmm.
Doors and setting appointments. It could be somebody that works here at Lightspeed today. I'm constantly looking for a new hero, meaning show me today that inspired me, right? And so, for example, there's a kid on our team, Bobby Wood. So Wood out there in California, he did 9 deals last week. Well, guess who's here? Guess who's my hero this week, right? Like, see someone put that type of work ethic, discipline, stay focused, and get those type of results, right? Mm-hmm. But you know, through my life, obviously, my dad, my grandfather, like basically the people I mentioned, that's a pretty good clue. My heroes, right? Because they created that type of impact in me, right? And so it's just different seasons, different times when you need a different aspect, right? It could be a pasture. It's been different people at different times, right? That makes me like, that's what I needed to hear today. Mm-hmm. And today is all we got. And if it's so significant, that's what I needed to hear today. Well, today that individual became the hero. Sometimes it's legacy. Sometimes it's my wife. sometimes it's Brad, right? Like it's people on our team. Just to me, I don't believe like a one-time hero like Superman or X-Men character, that type of shit. Real people give me that on a daily basis, that superhero vibe, right? Because to me, you're a superhero if you can transmit positive energy. That's a superpower that everyone has the ability to do, but very people practice it. And it's like, oh, those heroes don't exist. Yeah, they do. And the superpower is just transmit life, not death, positive negativity. It's a very simple concept that we all have that power. So go be a superhero for somebody today.
I love that. I haven't heard that answer. I really like it. Very unique. And so speaking of work ethic, I know you mentioned Bobby, but what motivates you to work smarter?
Well, what motivates me to work smarter is the fact that we don't have eternity. We just never know it. There's a time clock that everybody has, and at one point it's done. Yeah. It's the fact that sometimes there's reminders, there's certain events in life that remind you that of your mortality. Mm-hmm. And that alone right there should be enough to inspire everybody to work smarter. You only have a certain amount of days. You only have a certain amount of years, if that, and you just know. And if it's not you, it might be somebody close to you. So the smarter you work, and if relationships is a big deal for you, you know, the smarter you want to be able to organize all that, kind of like what I talked about earlier, how like if I'm separating buckets, it's not going to work. I got to put buckets together, at least for me, to feel that I'm somewhat balancing. And so really what makes me work smarter, you're not going to have another crack at this. Better focus and make sure you're five moves ahead, and you reverse engineer, and you do all those things that just throwing it on the wall to see if it sticks, that's not going to work. So just being active, having that urgency, extreme urgency, that thing, that's what it is, what gets me to work smarter.
You're absolutely right, because you don't know what tomorrow brings, but focusing in the moment, in the day, and what you're doing to move forward, no matter what that is.
Absolutely.
And so speaking of superheroes, like we were, if you were a superhero, what power or powers would you have?
Oh, well, my duplicating myself, like disappear, or not disappear, but like be in two places at least at once. That would, imagine that, how much more we can get done.
Seriously.
Self a few times and get several things done at the same time. You can go to a meeting and handle things at the office and handle things at home. That would be amazing. That would be the superhero power that I would love to have, just be everywhere.
That would be a good one. I feel like it's probably in the works right now. Like somebody's making it.
Right? Like, yeah, I'm pretty sure you can get an AI robot to duplicate all your emotions.
Oh, goodness. That would be interesting.
I should be careful what I wish for.
Yeah, knock on wood. As long as it's good for the overall good. So if you had to share a meal with any four individuals, living or dead, who would they be?
Man, I would say Cesar Chavez. Not the boxer, right?
I was thinking of the boxer.
Not the boxer, Cesar Chavez, the guy that stand up for the field workers, just because it was so close to, you know, we lived in Salinas, my parents' fields and all that. So his name in our community, obviously, is a big deal. So I think I would include him. I would say JFK. I think JFK would be a good person on the table. Yeah. Find out what really happened. No, just kidding. I would like to have, believe it or not, Kanye West. I think he's talented. He's a genius, right? From one from point, and also from a social standpoint. I know when society tries to ruin someone's character, is probably because there's something good there, right? Mm-hmm. That they don't really know about. So I think that would be a very interesting person to have in that conversation. And then Michael Jordan. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Michael Jordan would be somebody that just because the impact that he created on athletes around the world, period. Like you got soccer teams with his logo. You got baseball teams with his batting gloves and shoes. You got football games with his shoes, right? Yeah. So he's, to me, he's the most impactful athlete ever, right? And like in all sports. So I love sports. So it's like Michael Jordan. I grew up watching him in LA while everyone else was a Laker fan. Cause see the story, like everyone's like, yeah, yeah, of course you like Michael. Well, actually, I was supposed to be a Laker fan because I lived in LA when it was the Lake Show. Magic Johnson, they went to the finals. Everybody's, you know, all fired up about the Lakers. And I'm like, yeah. Who's this red team? I like red better. I was just a kid. Three guys pretty good. I'm going to go for them. I don't know why the whole neighborhood is going for the Lakers. Well, we live in LA, right? But from day one, like within watching that game, I was like, that's my team right there. I know I'm from LA and I know everybody is cheering from LA, but not me, right? I'm cheering for number 23. So absolutely Michael Jordan would be there.
That makes sense. I mean, I'm from Florida and I'm a Green Bay Packer fan. So, you know, it doesn't make sense, but it does. But I love how like just the four individuals too, such an intriguing conversation that would be at that table with the, all the walks of life, but impactful, I think.
Yeah, no, you got entertainment, you got sports, you got politics, and then somebody that hits so close to my community. Like, you know, I know there's probably other people, you know, I could have probably had Albert Einstein and get all smart with this fucking conversation, but I think this conversation.
I think so too. And what is the most daring thing you've ever done?
I mean, I'm not a much of an extremist. I'm jumping out of a plane type of deal. I would have to say the shift from moving from Arizona to Las Vegas, because it was different. During, like, we had kicked the idea around, but it was like, you know, I was like, well, we should move to Hawaii. You know, we should move to Dubai. And it was almost like that.
Yeah.
When I actually got COVID, probably two and a half years ago now, the first time, because I'm pretty sure I've caught it again later, but it was their effect, right?
Yeah.
No, didn't have to put anything in my body to survive. I've stayed. I don't have any added liquids in my body to keep myself away from that deal, but I don't judge it. It does, right? I didn't need them, but I did struggle with it the first time I got it, right? And spending like 7 days in the hospital. And so during that time, dude, that 7 days in the hospital is a long time. 7 hours in the hospital is a long time, right? Yeah. So I was there 7 days, and there was a point in I don't know, day four or something like that, started kind of turning the corner and starting to feel better, where I was like, you know what? Once I'm out of here, I'm going to do something radical and different. And right now, I'm not going to wait. I'm not going to think about it. As soon as I'm out of here, we're moving to Vegas like that. Right. That was when I actually made like final decision. I hadn't talked to my wife about it, family about it, nothing. It was just like, it's going to happen. And then my wife was kind of like, okay. Yeah. Like there was no, but what about this? What about that? Like, she just saw the conviction and she's like, that's where that's where we're going. Sold the house, did everything quick because I didn't want to think about it or have second thoughts wrong. It just in case I'm like, sell it, get over it. We're not coming back. Like, you know what I mean? Burn the shit. So, I mean, there was no reason. Like my town where we're living in Arizona, there's no reason. It's an easy place for us to do business. It's, you know, people know me as a solar guy there. I run into people and then they start the solar conversation themselves. I'm just like, of course I can help you with solar. You know? And so it's easy for me down there. It's easier. It was easy to just stay there, but we got out of that comfort zone and now we're in a way 10 times better situation because of it, I feel.
And it takes a lot of guts to just pick up and go, but it's just like what you said before. It's like all in. When you're all in on something, you just don't listen to the outside noise and you just focus in on what's going to be best. And sometimes you have to go through circumstances and situations that you'd rather not be in, like being in the hospital, but it gives you clarity when your back is against the wall and you're like, something needs to change. And then you're okay.
Lucy. The problem, a lot of people with being all in, they feel like it's too hard. I can't commit all the way. It's almost like anybody that ever played football, and I'll give you this analogy here. When in football, when two people collide and they're going to hit each other, the person that's has to think twice about it is usually the person that ends up on their back.
Right.
The person that's like all in, like, dude, you're coming to hit me. I'm coming to hit you and I'm going to run your ass over. The person that committed to that and is laser focused to just boom, go through it is usually the person that ends up on top. Mm-hmm. The other person that hesitates, I don't know, should I try to juke? Should I try to finesse it? Should I try to do this? Should I? You get round over, dude. You can't, you don't have time to hesitate. It's so much easier to play all in that play with B, plan C, plan D. And now you're like, well, if this doesn't work, I can do this. Or my backup plan for this is like, no, dude, you're just spinning around in circles with a bunch of different buckets and you're not all in on anything. So it's like, for me, it was like such a relief when I live my life all in. It's like, I'm all in. There's nothing. Simplifies shit, you know?
Oh, yes.
It's like, you got to be fearless, dude. What's the worst that can happen? What's the worst that can happen? Like, nobody's going to remember. Either you make it happen or 100 years from now, nobody's going to even remember this even existed. So don't take yourself so serious. Nobody else does.
Way to put it in perspective. And what is the last book that you've listened to or read?
The Next Five Moves by Patrick with David. Now, I just like the whole chess concept, the reverse engineering, being moves ahead, being able to forecast, being able to paint a picture and a vision. The only way you can have a vision is if you're at least five steps ahead. How can I have a vision if I don't know what we're going to do tomorrow? But if we already know what we're going to do December in Tulum for the Solar Awards this year, it's like, whoa, there's a vision. Now all of a sudden we're already doing business in December and we're still not even out of January yet. See, so, but if we're like, I don't know, we're thinking about this or we're thinking about that and it's constantly like, you know, so that book for me is just money. And it shows me, like, he talks about how many times he had to change his comp plan in his company and things of that nature. And it's like, you know, I thought I had a problem. No, you don't. That's business. Mm-hmm. So, great, you know, just David, but David, his whole story and his discipline and what he's been able to do in business is just awesome, period. So just like listening to him or any advice that he gives. So that's one of my favorite books right now.
I definitely got to add that to my list. I've been hearing about it. You're like the third person that told me about the book. So it's third time's a charm. So if you had to describe yourself as an animal personality type, what animal would you be?
A bull.
Bull.
Oh. Yeah. I'm a Taurus. Keep to myself until you're in my way. and then I could be rude. There's a bit ruthless part of me too. Like, I could be ruthless. Once it's like, okay, so either you get out of the ring or I get out of the ring here. This is what we're playing. All right. I'm not going to fall for the little red dangling thing.
Like, I don't got time for that.
I don't red. I like meat. So wherever there's the meat, that's what I'm going to hit. So I'm not falling for the red flag, right? So in my concept, that's how I honestly, like that, I'm a bull in business. Like I'm cool as long as everyone else is cool. But when it's time to charge, we charge. We don't look sideways. We don't look. And so I would say that's definitely. And I would think even friends growing up would agree, right? Like I'm by myself. Cool. If people call me and they want to hang out, I'm there. But you don't want to mess with the bull. Trust me.
I believe you. I could see it. And what is your favorite way to spend a day off? I know you don't really have a day off, but like when you have a few hours or just some downtime, what is that?
Yeah, typically Sundays, it's like, you know, and that's the thing, like the definition of a day off is different for people. My definition of a day off is like wake up early on a Sunday, get into some stuff, take some notes that lead to some business stuff. And sometimes I remember like, oh shoot, let me call so-and-so because this can't wait till Monday. So I end up a little bit of early, but I want to get that stuff out of the way so that usually my family likes to sleep in on Sunday. I can have for myself to get that out of the way. And then from there is being intentional to whatever the agenda for the family is, right? And because my wife is part of the business too, like even though we're doing our family thing and the girls are off playing, whatever, there's a little bit of conversation that happens, but we're okay with it. You know, we're not like my God, we never have a day off and we never, no, it's, we're okay with it because we know what we're building, right? And we know how significant it is for other people. We try to not, you know, we're not answering business calls or getting on the systems or jumping on the computers or doing that type of stuff. Like we try to keep that, you know, Monday through Saturday, but guess what? It wouldn't be surprising to actually have to work on Sunday. Try our best to try to put that for Monday morning, but then yeah, Monday mornings are our busiest days, right? And we got calls and we got everything. So part of the pressure on Sunday is like, you know, we already got a full agenda Monday, right? So, but yeah, that's where it stands right now. But things, this is the phase where we're in a building phase, right? Yeah. If it were in a building phase, it'd be different. But so we don't have a right now, but that's typically a day off, take the girls somewhere where they wanted to go have fun. We enjoy it because we're big kids too. So there's a lot of cool stuff to do in Vegas. And so, you know, we take a little recreational day once a week or at least bi-weekly.
That's good. And that's important, that quality time that you've talked about as well. And what is something an outsider wouldn't know about the solar industry?
Well, there's a lot of things.
I know.
This industry. But the main thing I believe is that they don't realize that the more they help people save money, the more money they're going to make. That concept where, like, because then it becomes where you actually have a book of business. Because if you have 10, I don't care. See, some people can have 100 people that they made a bunch of money off of, but they didn't really position them to win and have the best experience with solar. That person has a worse book of business is somebody that has 10 people that are just super excited and they love their solar and they're saving money and they're super grateful for them. That person now has a better book of business than the person that has 100 reps or 100 clients that are not happy. Because you have 100 testimonials against you versus 10 testimonials for you. And this person that says, oh, it doesn't matter. I have 100 clients. They only have 10. I'm better. I made more money and this and that. Well, that's only temporary, dude. Like, you know, you're not going to get referrals. How many referrals are those 100 people going to send you? None. How many can these 10 people send you? Maybe 100, right? So it's just perspective, I would say. And even people within this industry probably needed to hear that, not just people outside of this industry.
Exactly. Well put. And so Caesar, where can people find you? Real Solar. We're going to link everything below, but if you could let us know too.
Yeah. You can, I'm under Real Caesar D, C-E-S-A-R, Real C-E-S-A-R-D on Instagram. We also have the Real Solar Squad on Instagram, Real Solar on Facebook, right? So Caesar Delgado Facebook as well, or LinkedIn. So definitely looking forward to connect with anybody. And we throw the best events. So anybody listening to this would love to have you participate. And even if you don't become fully engaged in the solar industry, you need to become a part of it somehow. Everybody needs a friend in the solar industry. Might as well have some real friends.
Exactly. Well, thank you so much, Caesar, for coming on, sharing all your wisdom about your journey and the solar industry. It's always great to see you and talk to you, but I so appreciate your time today.
So much. Thank you. Good luck with the podcast. I love it and definitely need it and keep pushing. Appreciate
you. Thank you. We'll see you on the next video.